It's time to lead the people. The show for aspiring leaders at every level. If you want to boost your self-confidence, get noticed, and maximize your impact by leading others, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Matt Pepsel. Ready to lead? Follow me. My very special guest holds an MBA from the Smith School of Business at Queen's University and has also studied at Harvard University and the University of Toronto. He has specialized in predictive leadership development, talent acquisition, change management, and productivity using analytics to drive improvement for over 25 years. And under his leadership, Predictive Success has been recognized as a Profit 500 company and appeared on the Globe and Mail's fastest top 400 growing companies list. He is David Leahy. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks, Matt. Real pleasure to speak with you today.
I'm excited to have our conversation, and I am always fascinated by companies' origin stories. I just love the world of business so much. And by the time you and I first met, you had already been a PI partner for several years already. So let's get us started with this one. How did Predictive Success Corporation get its start?
Well, thanks, Matt. I mean, we went back to 2005. I was working at Microsoft at the time. I was creating a team at Microsoft in the enterprise space. We were looking to sell software to the banks in the 90s and very successfully put together a team with the need for, you know, tenacity, the need for, you know, being assertive, the need for being persuasive, all the things that Predictive Index gives us. And we didn't have a tool. We had, you know, the usual suspects. We could use colors or discs and Hogan, and the HR brought us that, but it really wasn't, you know, the data that I needed to build the team. So we did it kind of in an old-fashioned way without analytics. And then I was introduced to the Predictive Index by John Watson, who was the founder of a PI up here in Canada, and he was getting close to retirement. And so I really made a decision to start a business for myself. We had about 80 clients in Canada across the country. And jumped, left a very secure job at Microsoft, had some pretty good options and shares, and kept most of them, thank goodness. But really wanted to do my own thing, and been blessed by, you know, the beauty of having PI. I created my own team across Canada and used PI, of course, to build that. And the results, you know, 17 years later, we have over 1,000 clients and work with some wonderful companies, both in Canada, United States, and Europe. And have a team of about 22 people that are just awesome to work with, and all have the right PI to fit to the job model. And I think they enjoy their day at work each day.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you have experienced the problem that your clients also experience firsthand, you're trying to build a team, you don't have the data, you're going by gut, you're using whatever you can, and it's just so much expensive and frustrating guesswork on all sides, right? I think that's something I hear quite often, but your venturesome nature to actually leave a not an insignificant job or company in Microsoft. Like, tell me about that transition. What was it like going from big, secure, large company to now a you know, it's not startup, but it's high risk.
You know, I still remember the first day. I mean, we had to get used to selling a lot lower contracts. But, you know, my second client was Microsoft. I sold my old boss the Predictive Index, and he bought it, and it really helped him transform the enterprise sales team. His name was Randy Lenihan, and he's still a client today. I think one of the risks was, you know, the fear of the unknown. But I've always said, you know, faith versus fear. I had faith in the software, faith in my own abilities. And faith in what I saw was the future of predictive analytics. And in my case, the Predictive Index has been a big part of it to bring data to the frontline leader supervisor. I think too often in the old days, the software, the assessment tests in that area was not optimized. Today, we talk about talent optimization, and it's just the right thing to do. But, you know, a while back, it was kept in the hands of HR, and they had the pulpit, and they would, you know, come down from the pulpit to deliver the results. And that's just is not a good use. It creates a gap, and that gap zaps productivity.
Yeah, it didn't work then, and it certainly doesn't work now. I mean, business moves so fast, and we need our leaders at every level to be really people first leaders, I like to say. And you certainly have lived that. And you mentioned some of the size of your organization now. You mentioned, I think you're over 1,000 clients. How many team members do you have across Predictive Success today, roughly?
We've got about 20 to 25. It varies. We have some contractors that move in with us. We have some facilitated trainers that come in, but we've got a dedicated team member in each province across Canada. Our folks have been rewarded with, you know, I've got several. I think we have the most $1 million producers in the entire network of 700 PI agents. But our guys work extremely hard. I have ridiculously high expectations, and they keep exceeding them every year. But we also celebrate success. I was just reminded before the interview that get ready, because we're having our Ferris Bueller Day off in April. We go to a baseball game every year. It's always an afternoon game, and the entire team and shared services get together. We don't talk shop, and we celebrate the wins that we've had through a game of baseball, a couple of hot dogs and a few beers. And those little things to celebrate your success are, you know, a big part of our culture here at Predictive Success. You know, work hard, do great work for the clients, and then also celebrate success.
Yeah, it certainly has been for as long as I've known you. I had the pleasure to come up and spend some time with you and your team when I had been at PI very, very short period of time. And I was blown away by the personal nature that you have with your team. You talked about they're setting their goals. At the case that my first exposure, they were reviewing sort of how they were going to do right by their clients over the course of the coming year. They were sharing their plans for bringing new solutions to them. And I was like, this is a very intimate feel to it. You know, your team did. And I know that you have this incredible personal story that I think that all of my listeners would really benefit from hearing. So I wonder if you just might share it with us.
Well, thanks, Matt. And you and I chatted about this. You know, unfortunately, a lot of men between the ages of 55 and 65 now are being diagnosed with throat cancer. And it's just a part of the environment. In my case, I was in the best shape of my life 4 years ago. Don't drink, don't really smoke. This diagnosis threw me for a loop. And so getting into it, I was very quickly by my general practitioner diagnosed with a need to go into Princess Margaret, which is a large cancer hospital in Toronto, put on a regimen of radiation and chemotherapy, which is a normal procedure for throat cancer. And after 35 rounds of radiation, I was told that, you know, the cancer tumor had gone from 2.5 centimeters to 6.5 centimeters. And that's not a good outcome. I still remember it was after Christmas. So I was then quickly taken up to palliative care in Princess Margaret. And I didn't know then that I know now that you don't come back from palliative care. And so here I was, I'd lost 35 pounds. I was too sick to operate. They had to put a tracheotomy in my throat, and I couldn't write, I couldn't speak. And then I saw relatives coming, and so it was not a good sign. And I'm studying people for a living, and I'm saying to myself, this is not going to have potentially not going to have a great outcome. And I think back to it now, and I've spoken at this last year at several CEO conferences, is that I was looking at my team and I said, all of my doctors are wonderful people, but they are process and precision people, very detailed, very sequential, but they're not innovators. And I needed an innovative solution to come in and take over because I wasn't going to live. And so I kept pushing and pushing, and my family kept pushing the medical team to bring in someone with a second opinion. And finally, we got introduced to a wonderful doctor, Dr. Lillian Sue, who, and I have her PI now because we've become friends. But, you know, she's a strategist with a very high A and a very low C and very focused with that low M and extremely detailed. And she brought in a brand new treatment, immunotherapy from Bristol Myers Squibb, Nivolam. And that is what saved my life. I was put on that regime for 2 years. And right away, because of her, you know, innovation on my team, this is my medical team trying to, you know, again, the strategy is to live to see my grandchild being born. I was able to crush the cancer. And so slowly over the last few years, I've got my speech back, my hearing back. My weight has come back, and you know, I'm proud to say I was able to see both my grandchildren being born. And you know, I tell that story of faith versus fear. Certainly, you know, when you lose faith in yourself in any situation, it's, you know, it's a bad outcome. I kept my faith. I'm very strong in that, but I also had to make a change to my team. And I think a lot of leaders, you know, CEOs of small business, medium-sized businesses, are you courageous enough to make that change? You know, my case was life or death. But in, you know, the day-to-day operations of a team that's a family, sometimes we may not have that ability or flexibility or courage to make some difficult changes to our teams.
I think it absolutely is courage. It's such an incredible story for all the reasons. But I think for us, when we think about the background that we have in understanding behavioral types and a task at hand, how many times do we see, as you were saying, a CEO or some an executive who's not making a move on a person, not making the change because it's hard, it's confrontational, it's et cetera. And you talk about an example where you were the product. You were, I mean, your life is at stake here. That's incredible.
It didn't get more personal than that, Matt. I mean, you know, you and I don't go back a long time. You know, people are really complex, obviously. And so, you know, the need for analytics has certainly changed my life as a leader. And to many of the companies that we've worked with, changed their outcomes in a positive way. And what we think a lot about is, you know, do you have the right insights to make the right people decisions? I mean, there are decisions we have to make on our team. Smaller the team, the tougher it is. You know, as one of my executives at TELUS said to me, a very large telco in Canada, 55,000 employees, if they make a hiring mistake, they can hide them somewhere else. But in small businesses, if we make a mistake, we can't. There's no place to hide them. So I think a lot of the success that the best leaders I have worked with comes from is really understanding, you know, who they are and who they need to execute on their strategy.
It's obviously you don't get a more personal or more dramatic story than what you live through. But I think that if we are willing to take a little bit of a step back, when you start to see that many of the small to mid-sized business owners we talk to, their business is very, very personal to them. You know, they're trying to leave a legacy. They're trying to make a mark, trying to do right by their communities. Maybe they employ lots of people. And I think your story is really highlights the criticality of getting the right people in the right place. And I love how you said it, that your former doctors, they weren't bad people. They were just not a right fit for the task that you needed your medical team to do. So you made that change.
Yeah, and a fun outcome of it, it was about maybe a year, 2 years ago, I got a call from my medical oncologist, this lady who saved my life. And she said, oh, where are you? I said, I'm driving. She goes, pull over. I'm like, uh-oh, my bloods must be bad. And she said, I just got written up by HR. I need to hire you as a coach. Bring your predictive index stuff in ASAP. And I laughed about it. And she goes, this will help me. And we've become now clients. I charge her $1. It's pro bono. Because as you know, with PI, we do some pro bono work. And that has really led to, these are brilliant doctors, medical oncologists. That's led to work that we do with 5 leading U.S. hospitals with emerging leaders in medical oncology. So, Matt, out of every bad comes good. Yeah. But that that awareness that she had as a leader, as bright as she is, that she needed her own analytics to have better communications with her nursing team, her clinical team, and her research team, a real happy ending.
I love it. And I thank you so much for sharing that story with us. I do a little bit of work in healthcare myself. And a lot of times what I'm told is that, you know, we train our doctors when it comes to the medical bits, but we don't train them in the business bits. And what they come to find out is then they get installed in the field and they're like, holy cow, I'm dealing with all these personal dynamics and making decisions. And I was never trained in these things. They don't come naturally to me and they make a mess of things in some cases. So I love that anecdote of now you got to help me. I helped you. It's your turn to help me.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And we joke about it now, but certainly very fast learners, and it's a joy to work with them.
Here's one of the things I learned early on when it comes to leadership. The best leaders know how to build trust and motivate their people. And there are two ways you can do this. The first is to spend a whole bunch of time you don't have fumbling around and trying to figure out what makes the people around you tick. I wouldn't recommend that approach. The better technique is to use readily available tools to fast forward the insights you need so you can spend more time leading and less time playing guessing games. One of my favorite people first tools comes from the Predictive Index. The Predictive Index, affectionately known as PI, makes it easy to understand what each individual on your team needs out of a manager so you can personalize your leadership approach to get the best results. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the PI tools work for me and they'll work for you too. I was first introduced to the Predictive Index way back in 2007, and it changed my leadership. 10 years ago, I joined the company, and I've been proud to contribute to the development of talent optimization and the PI tools that make it possible in organizations of all shapes and sizes. Using PI, you can coach, motivate, and develop each of your direct reports on their terms so you can move up in your career with less stress. Visit PredictiveIndex.com to learn more. To make it even easier for you, I'll put a link in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the show. Well, and I know that, you know, the world of healthcare, the world of every business that I'm aware of is constantly changing. And you recently shared a term with me that I had never heard before, and you called it pit grit. And I just wanted to kind of dive into this a little bit. Can you start, tell me a little bit more when you say the pit? What do we talk about when we say the pit?
Well, I think a lot of small business folks are, you know, in this racetrack. If you think about racetrack, and you see when, you know, when you're running out of energy, you go into the pit and they change your tires, they change springs or whatever they change. But getting into the pit, as you're getting into the pit, do you have the right team around you? So, you know, if you follow racing a little bit, it used to take like 7 or 8 seconds to change tires. And now it's down to like less than 2 seconds. And why is that? They have better technology. They have better support mechanisms. They have people in the right role. And so pit grit means that you have a team around you that can get you into the race quickly. Because we know from my experience that the business world today, the race is lost in the corners. You know, if you take the corner the right way and you have the right things on your and wheels and tires on your vehicle, then we're going to go through this in a way that we have less friction. But when we have problems, when we have a bad pit, when we have people that don't do their work properly, when people are in the wrong jobs, then everything gets uncomfortable and everything gets kind of out of kilter a little bit. And then getting back into the race, you're going to have trouble in the corners. So pit grit, in my mind, says I have the right team to execute on my strategy. Everybody is staying in their lane and doing work that needs to get done to keep the vehicle on the road. And we can navigate those tough corners as that we have in our business world each day.
Yeah, I think sometimes the corners, you know, we bring them on ourselves when we have a strategy. Maybe we want to tackle a new market segment, or we introduce a new product, or there's some sort of change we want to make, but also sometimes things get thrown at us, right? And so I think that the racetrack is probably a little more Formula One than it is Indy in some ways, but I really like that analogy. And it's so true. You can have all the best technology. I don't know racing as well, perhaps, but I always watch the people. I'm watching that there's people in their ear of the driver. There's people who are working on the pit crew. Like, it's still even that's a people business, as mechanized as it is.
Absolutely. You know, what pit grit really can be is, you know, do you have the right people that are going to be assertive when need to be? Do they, the people have confidence in what they do? You know, I like to say when we're working with companies, any hire is three things. It's will, skill, and hill. And the will comes from the PI and the cognitive surveys that we market, of course. The hill is the leader, the boss. Who is leading that crew? I mean, do we have the right boss? Is he a bully boss? Who is that boss? You know, and then the skill comes from the resume or the knapsack that we talk about. So, you know, do you have a process? Do your people have confidence in the role? Do they match to the job model? And then in certain roles, you know, do they have the tenacity and assertiveness needed to get things done in the scheduled time?
So then in terms of thinking about the hill, I'm the leader of this team. I'm with you with the analogy of pit grit. The question is, am I just one of those fortunate few who are born with this capability, or can I learn it? Like, how do you think about it that way?
I think it can be developed. I mean, I think I love hiring people with a skinny resume. I remember, you know, hiring a person a little while ago on our team. His name's Rob Friday. He was 26 years old, and he had no experience in analytics, no experience in consulting, but he had the right behaviors. He was assertive. He was tenacious. He had a lot of energy. He had a lot of empathy. His decision-making was detailed when he needed to be, and he had a high ability to get cognitive done. So he had a short takeoff and landing for new knowledge. And we were able to develop the rest of it. So I think that, you know, trying to find someone out there that has everything in the box that fits you know, is rare, especially tough these days. It's cheaper for leaders and for owners to find someone with the right behavior and train the skills that they need. From my experience, that's led to more loyalty from the employees. Rob is still with us, you know, 14 years later, by the way, had many choices over the years, but really looking to, you know, the DNA and how can I take that and teach them the business. You know, we have another team member, Jennifer, who, you know, Matt, you know, had no experience, started in our shared services, but had the right ability to learn the business and worked her way up from shared services to $1 million producer. And another example of absolutely it can be developed.
Yeah, I think it's that much harder to develop when we don't have the insights, the analytics. I look across every part of these businesses. Think about even just in our brief conversation, we've talked about healthcare. You've talked about software companies, even Formula One racing. There's data everywhere, data on everything except the people. How many times do you still see that we're running into places where we either don't have the data or we're not using the data when it comes to those aspects of putting right people in the right positions to succeed and giving them the hard coaching when you need to?
Yeah, I think that, you know, leaders today must act more like scientists. They, you know, scientists would only do work after they've got the research done. And leaders today, you know, running so fast, they don't have time to hire, you know, a chief analytic officer, but they will make time for software that will enhance their decisions and bring the data to them so they can be a scientist of people to execute on what they need done, whether that means hiring a VP of sales, or a project manager, or a customer success manager. Analytics, from my experience, has proven to be an accelerator. It allows the leader to become scientific in her approach to leadership, and there's no downside. As I write about in my book, and by the way, all the proceeds of my book now are going to Princess Margaret Cancer Immunotherapy Research. The book is Hire to Inspire. And I write about in the book is that golden gut plus evidence gives us better outcomes. And so when leaders have the scientific data like that of the predictive index, there's no downside. It's just a big upside.
It makes total sense to me. And I think that you have this unique vantage point because you have such diversity in your client base. You've been doing this for so long. You've had the most personal experience anyone can have about watching behavior in action. So I want to think about the next couple of years coming up. Let's call it 3 to 5 years. I've been kind of looking ahead myself as well. And I wonder, I'll ask you what concerns you and what gives you hope, but let's start with some of the concern part. When you look at the next 3 to 5 years, where are we going to struggle, right? Especially these small to mid-sized business owners and you know, the executive teams that perhaps at even larger organizations than that, where are we going to trip up and have troubles in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm very optimistic about the North American economy. I think that, you know, we have great people, we have great companies. America's full of great companies, as is Canada. But I am worried about the lack of managers that have the training and analytic leadership. Mm-hmm. Gartner says that analytic training is a top 5 skill for the next 5 years. So how many companies out there, you know, are not aware of that and they're not training up to that? Now, we're fortunate at Predictive Success. We have a Predictive Success Academy where we train leaders in how to use analytics for supervisory skills, how to use analytics for the executive, how to use analytics for the HR team, and how to use analytics for safety and reducing risk as well as sales. So we have an academy that our, you know, our clients are using, you know, and we've trained over 1,500 leaders a year. So we're thinking that, but a lot of companies have not thought that out. So that's an opportunity for them. They're gonna increase the requirements of their managers. I always say every year, you're going to ask your managers and leaders for more in the year ahead. That's great. So now what are you going to do to equip them to be able to execute on that? If the answer is nothing, then shame on you as a business owner. So that concerns me is that people forget that in the future, there's more information that needs to be harnessed. And that information needs to be at the fingertips of your people managers, not just in the HR area. What gives me hope is that I think people really want, you know, a great workplace. I think that younger generations, the, you know, number one reason that Gen Z folks leave their company is my manager doesn't care about me. I'll repeat that because that's a big thing. My manager doesn't care about me. And so now all of a sudden a manager showing up with a very cool, you know, personal development chart that is tailored to that individual employee, like the management guides that we now have with the new talent optimization software in PI, that's a game changer because it gives that manager a new way of approaching that that employee, not just the Gen Z, but everyone at work. And so that enhances, you know, the journey to being a great workplace. Because what I do believe, if someone is having a great experience at work, they'll probably go home and be a better husband, wife, brother, sister. And that's just great for the economy because we have less stress. Mental health, as you know, is a real issue in North America. And so, you know, that's an opportunity. You know, if people get the gravity right, and what I mean by that is, you know, bad fits in the workplace, they just bring everything down. But good fits in the workplace, when a manager is really managing from the world of the employee, that is keeping gravity going in the right way. It's less stress. It's higher levels of engagement. It's more fun. It's better experiences and better opportunities to just do good work.
Yeah, everything gets so much easier. There's so much less friction when you ideally put people in the right role. And I love what you said too there, David. It's not like you've got as many candidates as we used to have. So looking for this perfect unicorn is worse advice than ever. But I think finding the people who are the right behavioral fit, because skills can be learned very quickly. You know, there's lots of different learning pathways for people, including on-the-job training. But I think behavioral fit, if you get that wrong, boy, everything is just much, much more difficult as a result.
Yeah, and I always say to folks, you know, hey, Mr. Business Owner or Miss Business Owner, you've got insurance on your building. You've got fire insurance. You've got, you know, various levels of insurance, aero emission insurance and so forth. Why would you not have people insurance? And it really makes sense to bring in, you know, a subscription, you know, to help you protect yourself from risk, to lower your chances of failure and increases the odds of success. And that is kind of, I think, a needed process. I mean, a lot of business owners out there have financials and they have insurance, but they don't have the best process on the people part. That's why I've been a big fan for, you know, almost two decades now on the use of the predictive index analytics, really to accelerate the company's use of their greatest asset. You know, they spend the most money on people than anything else in their business. You know, and when they go home at night, that all your assets are walking out the door. You know, did they walk out the door happy and jazzed to come back tomorrow? Or did they walk out with a bad experience and the resumes on the street? In this economy, we don't want the latter, we want the former.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how even after all these years, a little can go a long way. You know, when we have basic analytics in place, some basic reports and some tooling, basic insights, and you make those critical connections for people between their ears, and they're like, oh my gosh, that totally makes sense why I'm seeing this behavior. And go back to your oncologist and starting to see like, oh, I'm running afoul of HR. Why? Because I'm being myself in areas that is needed, right? It's like, how do we interpret this? And the context becomes really, really important.
Yeah. And you know, as I think a lot more about it, I think that, you know, who does not want to have a company they can be proud of, a legacy they can be proud of, something that they're building? And a lot of leaders and small business owners, that's what they want. But they maybe not taking enough time to think about, all right, how do I protect this? What can I bring in? And that's where predictive index analytics can come in and not only do the hiring, but it can create succession planning, high potential planning, you know, getting yourself ready for a merger and acquisition, you know, even having to deal with your bank manager. I've outlived four bank managers at the RBC, and all four of them, I've always asked for their PI. And so the PI gives me a recipe as to how to manage them. The very first one was a specialist, very detailed, very sequential and low B. And I knew that every meeting would be all about my covenants and my AR list. So I had it ready for her. And I promoted her to her boss that she was so strong at the details that she got promoted up. And then along came Gus, and Gus was a big promoter, very persuasive, not as detailed and very sequential. And I knew Gus would want to go for lunch or let's go golfing. So that's what we did. And we talked on the golf course and we had a really strong relationship. And so, you know, using the analytics to your advantage with all of your partners there's no downside, and it really can accelerate your growth. It certainly has for our team here at Predictive Success over the years.
I love it. Well, having had a little bit of a glimpse into the company that you've built, the people that are inside your business, and the impact you're having on your community and beyond, it's just, it's incredibly impressive, and it's obviously very effective. The personal story that you shared today as well, it's just, I'm blown away. And I'll get you out of here, Dave, with this question. It's my easiest one of all. For listeners who want to follow up and learn a little bit more about you, your book, where can we go to do that?
Well, thank you, Matt. And Dr. Matt, I love your podcast. I find them very, very helpful, by the way, and our clients also do. All the proceeds from the book are going to Princess Margaret Immunotherapy Research. And by the way, immunotherapy is coming to breast cancer in 2026. And that'll be a game changer, just to plug immunotherapy. Immunotherapy also is the basis for the COVID vaccine. So it's solving cancers, and it's just the next thing. So the book is available at Amazon. It's also available at Indigo bookstores across the United States and Canada. And the book is called From Higher to Inspire. Just happen to have a copy here for us. And of course, this one has many stories about how analytics have helped leaders and being more mindful of the process of how you onboard, how you coach, how you lead, and how, and when you have to make a change, you can do it with keeping happy alumni in your organization. So had a lot of fun writing it. I hope you would enjoy reading it and know that all the purchases are going to a great cause. So thank you for in advance for looking at that book.
Absolutely. And leaders, I'm going to have that link for you in the show notes. You're only one click away from being able to pick up the book. It's a great read, and to support the cause as well. Dave, thanks so much for being with us and sharing your experience and your stories today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Dr. Matt, and have a great afternoon. Take care.
Here are my success-driven top three takeaways from today's episode. 1, faith dispels fear. Whether launching a new venture or deciding to advocate for yourself, the best way to push past your fears is by believing in yourself and the positive future you're building. 2, build the right team. You may be starting from scratch, or you may have inherited a team. Ensure that their natural and potential abilities are a match for what you'll be asking them to do. 3, get it in gear. Pit grit is the tenacity and skill to get an organization moving at top speed. This requires attention to orchestration, communication, and a willingness to do the hard work quickly. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Strong reviews help shows like mine get noticed. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss your next opportunity to learn, lead, and live at your best. Thanks for making this investment in your leadership ability, and thanks for sharing this podcast with another aspiring leader who needs to hear it. All right, leaders, until next time, don't just manage the business when you can lead the people.